As if your week hasn't been bad enough, the Exiled Eagles are back to dissect exactly what's gone wrong to a season that had so much promise. With me are the men that have all the answers. Dal Quarty, how you doing?
G'day, mate.
Mike Werner, how are you?
I'm good, Tone. How are you?
Yeah, been better. And Seltz, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
The king of disappointment is present.
Excellent. This is going to be a very cheery pod. I can feel it. Before we get into the games, though, there's sort of news hovering about that the club is for sale, or the Americans are trying to sell their stake. What are people's thoughts, feelings? Is there sort of any intel about that? Anyone got anything to say?
No intel. So there's no scoop coming out of us, unfortunately. But I have concerns. Is that when we initially brought in Blitzer and Harris, whatever his name is, Parrish was doing all the donkey work. He was making sure it was the right people that were gonna. He's like, you're gonna put money into the club. You're gonna do this. But now, I mean, if Parrish isn't involved, Blitzer and Harris can sell it to that 36% or whatever they've got to absolutely anyone they want to. And they may have absolutely no interest of putting any money into the club now. Absolutely none. And then we might have like a Randy Lerner or a Sunderland owners that just we're here to cash out and check out and get our money. So if Parrish is involved, I'm a lot more confident. But I don't think he will be, because why would the Americans have him involved? They're selling their share. Parrish isn't selling his. So I think this might be a case of be careful what you wish for. That's my concerns. 100%, because was it that when Parrish said that to come in you had to be prepared to spend the money, and the main reason that these guys were coming on board was for the new stand, which still hasn't happened, but they signed on saying they're going to do that.
Do you think it will happen? Is that now going to be on hold?
How long's a piece of string?
Yeah, totally. Well, that's a bloody not a cheery start to.
It's going downhill from here. Going downhill from here.
Downhill.
Yeah, exactly. All downhill from here.
Yeah. So I guess, unfortunately, we have to start at the Brighton game. Like a few weeks ago, there was so much promise going into this. We've got a couple of decent results. And then I would call them probably our two biggest games of the season. So I was sort of brimming with confidence. And I guess I've just got to be honest. The game was on my birthday. I've been at a festival all day, so I can't really remember very much of it. I know we lost, and I know I was annoyed about it, but the finer points are beyond me, and I couldn't bring myself to watch it again. So you'll just have to guide me through it. So I guess let's start at team selection, because I wasn't sure about it when I saw it. I felt like after the Burnley game, Kiate should have been a starter for sure.
I was wanting Kiate to start, and he didn't. A couple of the team selections have been a bit puzzling of late. I couldn't nut out off the bat what our lineup was, but Roy's doing Roy things again, and to the knowledge of only himself, with a few of these selections which are a bit puzzling. And yeah, I mean, again, I thought, okay, the first time that we had them down there, we didn't really turn up for it. And everyone was like, all right, you know, return leg. And it was all full of excitement and to see how to go down. And mate, I reckon we probably only added 5 or 10% to sort of our enthusiasm. And yeah, got rolled again. So, puzzling.
Yeah, the annoying thing was Brighton were worse, I think, this time than last time. We still managed to lose.
Yeah, I want to put it into context here, because this has pissed me off.
Here we go.
I've been so ready for this, but I've literally been gagging for this for weeks, right? So we play Brighton. Let's put into perspective Brighton's form before we play them. They had won one league game this calendar year. That was against Huddersfield the week before, who are down. They are crap. They are awful. They are down. They
won a last-minute goal as well.
With a nice late goal. They threw away a 2-goal lead away at Fulham, who are also down. They lost 4-2. This is a team that were low on confidence and not very good. This is a team that if we're ever going to go for it, you've got to go for it and put pressure on. So what do? We play the crap, boring, slow, methodical football that we've tried to play. just overrun them. Just get into them from minute one. Start Maximize. Start every attacking player because they're not ready for it. They're not going to handle it. It's like when we were on the slippery slope under Pardew, we couldn't win for Toffee because we lost. We forgot how to win. That's where they were at. That is 100% where they were at, especially away from home. And we just let them off the hook. The knockout tackle in the first 20 seconds. Why are not nine of our players running in, grabbing his shirt, screaming, shouting, putting real pressure on the referee? It's like, he makes a shocking challenge. He tries to put Luke out of the game after 20 seconds. And we've got four players 20 metres away shouting. Get in his face. Yeah. Make it something. Yeah. But we don't. Like, Saturday, Kapu, why does no one put something on him for what he did to Wilf?
Yeah, no, like, yeah.
Just let him know that he's not going to get away with it.
Modelled too much in Roy's sort of image,
exactly.
Aren't we?
Just like, bollocks. Yeah. Listen, bollocks.
Let's be real for a second. Tony, you called it. It was, we were always going to lose. Murray was always going to score the first goal.
Oh, he's always going to score, that's for sure.
Surely that was going to go down. It's blind faith. And 100%. Rob and I were saying just before everyone else got on the pod, it's been coming. Leicester wasn't great. We won 4-1. It flattered us a little bit. First half was terrible. Wasn't great. Burnley, yeah, we won 3-1. Everyone will remember Wilf for scoring an absolute screamer and putting two people on their arse two or three times. But again, performance wasn't great. So when I saw the result, I did try to watch a little bit and I was very squiffy-eyed. And when I saw the result in the morning, I wasn't surprised. I thought to myself, we give it all the bigger. We can pump our chests and release all the best social media stuff going. It's great. And everyone gets a good look at the club and a good look at the team. But then come match day, I think sometimes the players believe their own hype. You know, and they don't realise they've actually got to go and graft out there. Because sometimes you just need to graft. And we're not seeing it. I don't think we're seeing it.
Yeah.
That's my view. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talking of grafting, that's exactly what Watford did at the weekend. And, yeah, that's what got them over the line, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. And it's like we're turning that into Arsenal. The Arsenal team post-Vieira. Like, everyone said you've got that soft belly. Yeah. You rough them up a bit. I mean, we all say, like Lucas from Serbia, he'll wait for Murdy and all that type of stuff. And let's see it. Let's see someone put a crunching tackle in. That, from what I've seen this season, you basically have to commit GBH to get a straight red. So, these are professional footballers. I'm not saying they're just going to get the red mist and start throwing punches. Of course not. But you know when you can get away with stuff. They all do. I mean, you play at any level of half-decent level of any sport, you know what you can get away with. And I'm lucky enough to play at half-decent level of rugby. If that something like that had happened to a player that I on my team, I know for a fact that someone else, there'll be a time where the bloke just doesn't get up from a tackle or whatever. He just doesn't get up, and everyone knows why. But no one knows what's gone on.
I tell you, we're lacking.
We are lacking.
I am not one to go back and say, I want this player, I want that player, I hate it. We are lacking Emile Jednak.
For sure.
We really are.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone, oh, yeah, totally.
Literally, I mean, he's got no reason to die for Palace because he's not from South London. He's from bloody Sydney or whatever. But you know what? He would...
Central Coast boy.
He would never, ever, ever go into that Brighton game without firing everyone up and pulling them through. And whether the other players realise how big it is to some of the fans or not, he would make sure that team at least puts everything out on the pitch. That's what I think we're lacking.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Exactly. You'd see him for those games. He'd have just that steely look in his eye and he'd look well pissed off before a ball was kicked and he was into it. And like you said, Dale, he'd be sure, mate, that everyone's on the same page and get the boys up for it. And, I do like Luka, but I don't think he has that component about him. And then even Damo as well, you know, someone like him, he would run from anywhere on the pitch if that happened to Luka and he was still out there. There was no one there. Luka's just writhing around, clutching his bollocks, and it's just brown cows around him. And it was, it was ridiculous. I don't know what someone just didn't come in and have a quiet word.
That's it.
Anyway. I know. Totally. And that's why I really thought Keita should have started that match, because at least he sort of gets involved a bit.
Yep.
I'll put something on that. Keita was not fully fit, hence they didn't think he could start.
Oh, yes. Is that what it was? Well, then yeah. I take it back. All that effing and blinding I did at the TV yeah. screen when I was drunk.
Do you know what? I would take, because he's not going to come on and change the game for us, right? If Cartier's on the bench, he doesn't come on after 70 minutes.
He's not coming on full stop after with Roy.
Yeah, my point is, he's not going to come on after 70 minutes and start banging in screamers, right? So if he's only got 70 minutes in his legs, he starts. You start that game solid as you can. Yeah. You win every midfield battle, because that guy doesn't lose midfield battles for Laurent to try in. And then, yeah. when he gassed, you take him off.
Exactly. So, obviously, you mentioned it before, but Murray's goal, I mean, what a finish. We all knew he was going to score his 100th, yep. but I have to say, I mean, obviously, it's a defensive mistake, but respect, he fucking put that away perfectly. Shame for old Tompkins, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ball went over.
Jimmy T.
But that was clinical.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great finish.
Well, I mean, to be fair, both goals were good goals, let's face it. But
yeah, they were.
Yeah, we.
And the penalty? I mean, definitely a penalty, wasn't it?
I think so, but I've got mates who thought Andros dived. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mate, one of them, look at some of the shit they
gets
given.
One of them's a Palace man. And he said, he was like, yeah, I can see why it was given, but I think he dived. Yeah. At the moment, all that happens is, you know what, you force a referee to make a decision. Whether he dived or not, you force a referee to make a decision. And if he gives it, happy days. And then you've got Luca, who doesn't miss him. So, unless it's against Man City.
Yeah. And was everyone like me when that went in? I just turned around and was like, there's only going to be one winner now. I was sure we were going to go on to dominate that match.
But we did. That's the thing. We did. But it took us that kick up the arse to do it. And that's what's pissing me off so much. It's like, we shouldn't have been 1-0 down. Like, a great finish, don't get me wrong. But they showed nothing. And then we didn't show anything really. And then when we talk about Watford in a second, we'll say the same thing. But then we put Meyer on and like we started bombarding but it's not as if we created much. And this is the problem. Like there's the charge of light brigade after 75 minutes, and then so in-game management. Roy Hodgson, we will never get higher than about 12th, 13th with Roy Hodgson. Simple. That's our glass ceiling with him. That's it. He'll never go. It's like Allardyce. Yeah. We'll never go down with him, but we'll never go further, because he's very much. We've got the point. We're not going to lose the point, but we haven't got many points recently anyway. And then PVA rubbish. Great hit by Knockhart, but you know it's same old. It's always joyful to watch it at 1 o'clock in the morning as it goes into the top corner, knowing that your kid is going to wake up in 4 hours and you're going to do this whole shit again. What a feeling.
Honestly, that really sucked my jam out of my donut, that goal. I was just could not get interested after that. You just know we're not going to come back.
That's it.
No, that was it, mate. That was spent after that.
It feels like they were just... The Watford game and the Brighton game pretty much carbon copies in the way they sort of played out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very depressing. I saw someone on Twitter, I wish I could give them credit, that just said, we couldn't unlock a phone without a passcode.
That was awesome.
So I thought it was excellent. So Brighton did a double over us. And then my positive spin was, well, we've lost twice to Brighton, only because we're going to beat them in the semi-final of the FA Cup. That's what I thought. I thought that was going to define our season. But then, Watford. I had a bad feeling from the start. The whole Wolf situation was obviously disappointing. And then hearing all the trouble the fans were having. And I've got to say, I didn't like what they did with the away fans, splitting them up and no boos and no drums and all that kind of stuff. But I respect it.
Yeah.
I think totally. They did a solid thing there.
Yeah, 100%. And
they got us, and respect to them for that.
Yeah, I have to agree. Why would you give? And let's be honest, I think that is becoming a bigger rivalry with actually some bigger, more recent narrative than Brighton. If you think about the playoff, the FA Cup semi-finals, etc., and the Wilf scenarios, and coming back last minute to beat them a couple of seasons ago, I think it's becoming a bigger narrative. And why would you give Palace an advantage, which everyone knows those fans are an advantage, especially away from home, why'd you give it to them?
Yeah. Totally.
Smart.
Totally. Absolutely. It is smart.
If that was the case, boys, on that one, what did they end up giving us then? 3,100 tickets, was that right?
Yeah.
3,100 seats?
Yep.
Were they duty-bound to give us more? Because I heard like 5,000, or was that just optional between that difference for them to give up?
I think the away stand holds 5,000, right? But they only gave us 3,000 of it.
Yeah,
is that right?
You've got to give a percentage of your capacity for the away team, but there's a minimum number which you have to give, and usually you give X. You already say it's 5,000, but you can only have to give whatever percentage it is. So
yeah, okay.
They were within the rules. They didn't do anything naughty, annoyingly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I wasn't sure how that panned out. How those two figures varied. But yeah, I agree with you, Dale, 100%. Man, it's in my head anyway. It's a way bigger rivalry with Watford of late than Brighton for me. With all the goings on this season and the big matches we've had with them, the last couple of years, cup semis and. Coming up, and then Kapu on Wilf, and then again what we saw on what's just gone, and then Brighton just sort of doing their thing down the road. So I'm bang up for sticking the knife into Watford more so these days.
It just makes it worse that Brighton and Watford are both in the FA Cup semi-finals.
Beautiful, isn't it? Sakes. I mean, Watford were the ultimate. They were the ultimate meh club, weren't they? Couldn't give a rat about them. And to be honest, I'd rather not care about them because they have to have a rivalry. Because who's their rivals? Luton. They've got to try and find something. And they've just the fans have chosen enough because they try and talk about Wilf and try. There's so many people bite on Twitter. I mean, Jesus Christ. So try and talk about Wilf. And as you say, the rivalry, like the playoff final, the FA Cup semi, blah, 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 blah. So. He's given it. I mean, I don't care about them. I really don't. I don't like them, but I still think that they couldn't give a could not give a stuff about Watford. Really couldn't.
What actually annoys me a little bit about Watford is that they're almost starting to turn into the model Premier League club for a team that's not a big team and not got lots of money. They constantly find a decent manager. They always seem to, Jukanović was not Jukanović. Gracia is there at the moment. Silva was there before him, and I can't remember who was there before that. But they always seem to get decent managers. Kike Flores, that's it. They go and find players who are decent. They got that Ken Semmer from Östersunds or whatever. Who's what the hell? He's actually not too bad. They're making Adrian Mariappa look half decent when he plays. Their fullbacks are good. Ben Foster's got a new lease of life there. As much as no one likes Troy Deeney, he's Robbie Savage. Everyone would have him in their side. They just kind of get it to work, and that does annoy me a little bit. De La Feu, they're getting a tune out of him as well.
I just thought they're starting 11. When I saw them side by side, looked better than our starting 11, and I wouldn't have thought that previously. But looking player for player, that was a good team they put out.
Yeah.
Speaking of starting 11s, I suppose the issue with Wilf is one to talk about. Would you have risked him? I mean, we don't know how bad the hamstring strain was. What I thought was disappointing was all he did was he didn't change our shape or our formation. He just basically stuck Max Meyer where Wilf would be, or he put Townsend there and put Meyer the other side. I thought he'd probably change the game plan a little bit, but it doesn't look like he did. What do you think?
You're bang on. I think we made far too many mistakes. Like, you saw the wind, we'll talk about keepers I'm assuming later on, but you saw how the wind was playing havoc in our box. How many crosses did we put into theirs? How many times were we trying to test Gomez, who isn't the best under the high ball. He's not great. We didn't do it. Like, that game was crying. You see a windy day, just shove Benteke up there. Put him on.
Whip
balls in. Just get the ball in. Get Andros whipping them in. Get Max Meyer whipping them. Just put the ball up there. And then you've seen what Batshuayi is like around about the 6-yard box. I mean, if Benteke wins any knockdown, then Batshuayi is going to be on it and he's going to be shooting. Like, we didn't create anything. The goal was 100% created by Batshuayi himself, closing down Mapiriapa, getting the charge down and then scoring. We created absolute sweet FA again. So it's going back to the point that Dale made before. For 5 games, we haven't created anything until the home team have had to come out on us. We were lucky against Leicester with Batshuayi's goal. It was a good bit of play, but lucky. Like the Burnley goal, it was the own goal. Well, that was well worked, but that was it. We did nothing else all half. Had we not had, I know it's what ifs and buts, but had we not scored either of them, you'd have walked in thinking, what a load of rubbish this is. And it was again, yeah. It's the same turgid, slow build-up. There's no change. I was listening to Becca Nest earlier on today, who didn't answer my question properly, by the way. But like they said that Watford forced us to attack down the channels. Watford made us do what Watford wanted us to do. But then why didn't no one recognise it? And we just still do that crappy, slow build-up play. Like, we don't have anyone to just react on the pitch. And we're talking, like, for me, I think I love James McArthur, but James McArthur isn't of the standard. James McArthur is Roy Hodgson. Roy Hodgson will get you 13th place. James McArthur is a 13th place in the Premier League midfielder. He's not a top 10 midfielder. And that's our problem.
Yeah, it's rusted on, isn't it? Him being starting, and I was hoping, again, for good things from Mike, because he's got pretty fast feet and not bad in traffic, I feel. But then when Wilf wasn't on, I was concerned because those two guys they look like they've been playing together for a lot longer than they have. And I thought, oh, this
yeah, they click, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every time he just finds Wilf in traffic. And it's I was hoping for a bit of that. Obviously, Wilf, they're not playing. So I thought, okay, well, you know, just have a run through the guts and see if you can pick out Batshuayi or Andros. And, yeah, just didn't really happen. But insane all that. Yeah, I wouldn't mind giving Macca a bit of a rest and just throw Meyer in the deep end a little bit more.
And how do you feel about PVA not playing? About good. Time?
Yeah, he's just been terrible the last 4 or 5 weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The only problem with him not playing is we don't now have a ready-made replacement because, for whatever reason, Jeff Schlupp's been playing as a centre mid or left winger. So he's got that in his head. Well, I know it sounds silly to say, but that's where he's been playing. And suddenly you're saying to him, now you're playing as a left back. It's very different. So I think that concerns me a little bit. But at the same time, whether he needs a rest or whatever, I mean, I'm not going to blow my own trumpet, but I said pod one of the season, I didn't trust a guy. I thought he'd be our biggest liability. I don't know what's happened to him. He dropped off. I do know what's happened to him. I don't think he's a very good defender. Simple. He's a great wing back going forward. I don't think he's a very good defender. And I think teams have figured him out. And this is why he hasn't actually stuck around at any club.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And when we're sort of running over teams, he's a great sort of player to have, just suddenly popping up outside the box. But we've got this slow, methodical play sort of going on, and he can't defend. It's sort of, what's he for? although speaking of the pre-season predictions, Dale, can you remember who you picked as your top scorer?
Yeah, Christian Benteke.
Me too. Get in.
And I said most assists would be Max Meyer.
There's still time.
Come on. Our defensive midfielder 2 years in a row is going to be our top goal scorer. Brilliant.
I know. Batshuayi might get it. I reckon he might get it.
You know. He could,
though. I know this is going slightly off topic. It just goes to show what... And I don't want to be harsh on Christian Benteke because he has been brilliant. His first season for us was great. Villa, great. In spells at Liverpool, very good. Something's happened to him. We don't know what. But what a difference it makes having a striker up top who is mobile and clinical.
Couldn't agree more, Dale. I actually texted onto the WhatsApp group when he scored that goal against Watford. How long has it been since you've had a striker that can do that? Just pick up the ball and just sail into a box and put it in the bottom corner.
It's great. And we need to do... We need to try and move heaven and earth without it costing us Wilf or Aaron Wan-Bissaka to get him from Chelsea. There is no chance, but we need to do whatever. We need to find out what it takes, and if there's any way we can make it happen, we need to make it happen because we need that striker. What? We're going to get Sorloth back. The guy scored 3 goals over in Holland. Whoop-de-doo.
Belgium, my friend.
Genk, sorry, yeah. He scored 3 goals.
You know what I mean?
Aren't we? We're hamstrung by the Chelsea, this whole situation. They can't sign anyone, right? So they're not going to sell anyone.
No.
Not first team quality.
No.
Just our luck, innit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I suppose we need to talk about the goalkeeping situation as well. Guaita just absolutely just lost his head, didn't he? Completely, during that sort of barrage of corners. Like Hennessy style. So, what's anyone think about that?
Go on, Dale.
I'm just going to press pause. I'll come back in 20 minutes.
There is good and as bad as each other. I still maintain Hennessy's biggest fault in the eyes of Palace fans is that he replaced Julian Speroni in their eyes. He didn't. It was actually Alex McCarthy, and we sold him, and then everyone turned on Wayne. Now, I look at Vicente Guerreta, whatever his name is. First game against Leicester, he got away with one when he tried to dribble around Jamie Vardy. Got away with it. Shouldn't have been. Anywhere else on the pitch, that's not a foul, right? Gets away with it there. Chelsea game, ball goes under his hand for the goal from Kante. Poor. Man City game, beaten by a cross. Now, that does happen. It's a fluke. But if that's Hennessy, everyone goes mental at him. The Watford game, I've only seen the very short highlights. I mean, as a keeper, what is he doing trying to come for that ball? If you're going to do it, knees up, clear out everyone, win it. He had the game recently, gave away the penalty. Was it the Leicester game? Was it?
West Ham.
When he just decided to clatter somebody.
Charging out.
His kicking's woeful. Like he looks like he can't kick a football off the ground. And it gets played back to him. I don't... You know, and also, people were saying when Hennessy let in a goal and it was the defence's fault, people always say, oh, well, it's because Hennessy's in goal and he makes the defence nervous. Well, now I saw at the weekend on social media, people saying, oh, the defence is nervous. Well, hold on, it wasn't Hennessy in goal, so what does that mean? You know, let's call it for what it is. They've both got their faults. And we need to, whether it be Dean Kiley or someone else in the coaching staff, needs to sit both these boys down and say, look, lads, we need to work on this because it's not good enough. It is not good enough.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah.
And the wind was definitely a factor. It must have been hard for him, but then it must have been hard for everybody. And like Rob said, we didn't chuck in any high balls to Gomez and sort of take advantage of that. So... yeah, that's a sort of coaching issue right there.
That's it. And I will say one thing because I just can't let Dale just have a full thing. I have to come back. I agree with everything you said. I do. And on Saturday, he was atrocious. Like, you just think, it's just like it's like an orange flash flying across the screen at times. You're like, what is that? And it's like, is it a plane? It's Vinny Guaita.
It's Vinny Guaita.
And it's like, whoa. But what I will say, because I was listening, I don't know why I remember this, like a Guardian podcast a couple of years ago, when like talking about De Gea, he was like this in his first season at United.
Yeah, he was.
And like, it's gone from the...
So you're saying we've signed the next David De Gea?
Just he's 32 years old.
That's what I mean. He's just a late bloomer, but you can quote me on that. We have signed the next David De Gea. But like, it's a continental goalkeeper thing, like the Vardy thing. He did, like, that was his first game in the Premier League, and you know, you watch Spanish football, no strikers do that to goalkeepers. They just wait for them to play it out. Yeah. He learned, and he hasn't done that again since, so I'll give him that one, his first game in the Premier League. But yes, Saturday was atrocious. Yes, the wind was up there, so that, you know, even if it was Wayne Hennessy, I'd say Jesus Christ, the wind was bad, but then I'd probably go mad on Hennessy. But I think he's 13 games into his Premier League career?
12 Premier League games, one FA Cup game and 3 League Cup games, I checked earlier.
And goalkeeper, as you well know, if one mistake, if the goalkeeper, you're on your own. And he's learning a new language in a new country in the fastest, most physical league in the world. I think we have to give him a little bit of time before we start saying, like, don't get me wrong, he's not the best goalkeeper in the league. I'm for sure that, but in my very uneducated opinion, he's better than Wayne Hennessy. From what I've seen, I think that.
I'd agree with everything that's been said of what Dale said and Rob also, and I think pretty hard to split them. They both got their faults. If I had to pick one, I'd probably stick with Guaita. And I think possibly his biggest Achilles heel at the moment is that language barrier. And I think he might be a little bit more nervy with Sacco out the defence as well.
Totally. You got that wind, plus you've got Kelly and Tompkins, who potentially have never played together, or at least only played a few games together.
Yeah, so that, you know,
so that wouldn't have helped.
Swirly ball, a little bit of indecision between them, not knowing what's going on, and JT and Sacco at the back was just solid as a rock, wasn't there? Now that's not the case, and you only need sort of 1% of uncertainty to creep in, and then all of a sudden everything's gone tits up and your net's rattling. Pick the ball out of it.
Yeah, totally. Very good point. Well, on the plus side, it saved us all, I don't know, combined thousands and thousands of dollars for no Wembley trip this year.
A couple of divorces, I reckon, as well.
So that's a plus. So, I was annoyed by the Brighton game because I thought we're a better team than them, but I thought Watford were better than us and, deserved to win at the end of the day. It's just frustrating to lose them both back-to-back. So we kind of sort of touched on it, but what are the thoughts on Roy then? What's next? What do you think happens, Mark?
I was just listening to Back of the Nest today, and unbeknown to me, he contracted for next season as well. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that will come into play, but my personal view or hope would be that we'll get to the summer and all shake hands and wish each other well, and he'll toddle off and we'll look at replacing him. But given that he is contracted, he's well within his rights to hang about and earn his pay, and as Rob said, and what I also think as well, we've reached the frontiers of where Roy Hodgson can take us.
Dale, what about any sort of replacements? Got anyone that you'd like to see us go for?
I think the obvious choice, and I'm pretty sure we must have mentioned him before, would be Wagner, ex-Huddersfield boss. That's the obvious one. He did really well to keep Huddersfield up last year. I think trying to do it a second year was well above anything he could have hoped to achieve. Aside from that, I don't know. I mean, you can turn around and say we want to go down the continental route where we get someone who's going to come and change our style and blah, blah, blah. Been there, done that, lasted 4 weeks. Four games. I just want somebody who's going to ultimately come in, play some decent football, keep us up, take us on the cup run. And the annoying thing is, I say that, and that's exactly what Roy's just done.
I was going to say, like, Roy's just ticked all those boxes.
Yeah, that's the thing. But isn't that the funny thing? I look back and think the best football we've played recently was probably under Allardyce, where he got two wingers wide and he got Benteke in the middle, got them playing some good football, crossing it in, goal scored. But would anyone say you would have Allardyce back? No, because the football's boring. Hodgson, ultimately, what do we want out of our club? Do we want to be pushing for seventh place, or are we happy to finish 10th for a cup run? As long as it's a good 10th where we're not looking over our shoulder. Maybe we are. If Roy got us there next season, let's be honest, I don't think we're going to sack him. Unless he walks, we're not going to sack him. If we did that next season, would we turn around and say that's a good season? Yeah, we probably would. That's the annoying thing.
That's it. We're one game away from Wembley, and if we've gone to Wembley, that is a good season. If we don't go down and we go to Wembley, that is a successful season for Palace, and we're very close to that. So, that he's filling his sort of what he should be doing. But I guess you just want a bit more adventurousness I know, yeah, Rob, you was going about the in-game management and substitutions. You need someone that can sort of grab the game by the scruff of the neck. That's what you want, isn't it?
That's it. I mean, I've voiced my thoughts on this, but look, Saturday was a tale of two managers. You had one manager whose team was under the cosh, and Watford were under the cosh when we had a bit. He tweaked the system and bought on a striker. No one, you would not have thought, now's the time to bring on a striker. But he tweaked the system, bought on a striker. Striker scores 2 minutes later. Did something about what was going on. Roy sat on his hands, did nothing, and then brought Benteke on with five to go. I mean, we'd lost the mid because they'd tweaked. We didn't have the ball to get the ball in the box anymore. So it was far too late. One screaming out, I remember, that I'll never forget, it's like Southampton away, when we 1-0 up, screaming out to bring on either Benteke or Wickham just to hold the ball up. And everyone could see it, and he just didn't do it. And, okay, about this, I want Roy to stay to the end of the season. I don't think we can get anyone else in that's better now, for sure. I don't want him to be sacked at all. But if we want to move, and this is like what my question to the back of the Nest guys was, like, have we? I know every other club's improving, but for the squad we have, I don't think we've improved on the pitch. I don't think we're still in this relegation battle where if you go down by squad, like squad lists, we've got the best statistically the best right back in the league, arguably, well, best right back in Europe statistically, and arguably probably one of the best three right backs in the league anyway. We have arguably the best player outside the top six in Wilf who would walk into any club. In Luka, we've got one of the best defensive midfielders in the league. In Saka, we have one, I think, in the top seven or eight defence centre backs. He just got mistaken him, but look at the difference now. You say that, okay, how many other players above him? I don't mean in their team, like individually. Look at the difference that Sacco being out has made to us. He's huge.
That's, but I think that's
absolutely huge.
But that's to us.
So that's to us. I think that there, you have to look at this. Sacco was at Liverpool, pissed off Klopp, and was on the open market, and no one else had any interest in him.
Because it wasn't footballing ability. When he came to us, all Liverpool fans were like, he's better than what we've got.
Yeah. And he was. He totally was. But he also had crap. They also had terrible centre-backs apart from, he was probably the best they had at the time. But I also think that, would I see Sacco going into, is he better than the three centre-backs they got at Man City? No. So Stones, Laporte, Otamendi, no. Company, if he was fit, no. There's four straight away. Van Dijk, no.
Obviously not Van Dijk.
Who's third in the league? Spurs, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, probably not. I know what you're saying. For where we have got a better team than where we are in the table. Simple as, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Better squad, sorry.
Yeah.
We've been saying that for a few years.
Yes.
Yeah. But then, and on the who do we bring in? I'd rather not know. You know, who would you want to bring in? I don't know. Look, obviously, we're all going to say Wagner. But you look at Norwich. Who had heard of that bloke? Yeah. They've got it now. And they're still walking away with the championship. I never heard of Nuno, whatever his name is.
I was going to say, most of those Watford managers I haven't heard of before they go there. Yeah.
What about the Wolves bloke? I mean, I know he's well known. I've never heard of him, though.
Nuno, so someone, Santa.
Yeah, never heard of him. But so people know these people. So we, and like... But don't worry, our scouting network that brought up Jack Rakip and Sorloth, I've got full confidence in him. And just going back to the three goals that Sorloth scored in Belgium, that would probably make him our second top league goal scorer currently. Yeah.
And the best thing is, it's the perfect three, left foot, right foot and a header.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get him back. We want Rakip.
Absolutely. All right, and then I assume, does everyone feel we're safe? I feel like if we lose to Huddersfield at the weekend, it's squeaky bum time again. But if we win, we're going to feel quite kind of easy about it. It's becoming quite a big game.
We're
sailing. 13th sounds a lot better than 5 points off relegation, I think. And it only takes a dud result. That could be considered a 6-pointer, and we're right in the mix of shit. So, couple pods and that side. Oh yeah, you know, we're safe. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm very much still got my eye on that for sure. We're We're nowhere near clear enough to be, looking too far ahead. Just safety for me at the moment, and crucial game against Huddersfield. You'd like to think we'd get the chocolates, but, you know, funny old game and Crystal Palace. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a big weekend, right? I'm just looking at the fixtures. Brighton are at home to Southampton. So, in theory, someone takes points off somebody there. That's good for us. Burnley Wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves aren't great against the lesser teams. So, you know, Burnley would be well up for that. Us against Huddersfield. You would say you should be a banker, right? And I don't care about Cardiff and Cardiff's a little bit I'm worried about, but they got Chelsea. And then, you know, Fulham, don't even worry about Fulham, they got City. We've got to really go out, in my opinion. This is the game where it counts. We can't go out there not wanting to lose. We've got to go out there looking to win. 36 points is going to be enough this year to stay up. Rightly or wrongly, it's going to be enough. And we need to get that mark as soon as possible.
And this is the game to do it.
100%. But you know he's going to start Macca. You know he's going to start Macca and Schlupp and Luke will be like, and it's going to piss me off again. I think...
Yeah,
I mean, like, ultimately, I'm just like the pissed off Palace fan at the moment because I know we have at least one more shitty midweek game to get annoyed about before work when we lose.
Spurs, exactly.
Exactly. But I don't care about that because it just means it's a 6:30 kickoff, and then I've got to go to work all pissed off, and all my Spurs fan mates are gonna be like, "Oh yeah, we want to have a pit. Leave me alone."
Yeah.
And then I've got to go. Then I've got to call accountants all day. Amazing.
It's going to be a ripper of a day for you, mate.
Yeah, sucks to be you.
Bring
the life,
it
the life
on.
Of an exiled eagle. All right, well, let's finish on a positive spin. A few weeks ago, CPFC Sydney played Sunderland Sydney supporters for the Bradley Lowry Cup. Is that the official title of it?
Yes, it is, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk us through it, Dale?
Yeah, look, it was a great day, well organised. I have got a video I need to put together from what snaps I took. Big shout goes out to the Sunderland guys for organising it. Great field. They organised canteen, had proper refs. You know, we had a lovely pitch we were on. We won 7-1. 7-2. Shawnee Robb bagged quite a few. The definite highlight was Scott getting a penalty. He won the penalty, and we immediately gave him the ball and said, "Here's some redemption from a previous Renf match," and he missed, which was brilliant. But aside from that, look, I've got to be honest, it's the first game we've played as a supporters club where we actually looked like we played some football together, and you'd like to think so. It's been about 4 or 5 years now. But ultimately, it was for a great cause. A lot of money was raised, and it's going to become a regular thing. So great to be a part of.
That's great.
And really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Awesome.
One thing I will say is my favourite part of the day was, and I hope he puts this in the video, Dale's stepovers. slowest stepovers you're going to see ever.
Mate,
and he basically did the stepovers. The guy didn't move, so he just shoulder barged him out the way instead.
Yeah. So there's a very much an ongoing joke with all my mates back home about how bad and slow my stepovers are, and that's been going since we're about 19. So I immediately sent them the video, and they loved it. They're just like, "That is typical." So yeah, that will be in the video.
Excellent. Look forward to the highlights. Well done everyone for doing that. Well done Jimmy and the Sunderland guys and everyone that played. It's awesome to get off the ground. Hopefully lots of money raised for a great cause. Yeah. So that's awesome. And speaking of that match, Dale, you recorded a little bit of audio down there during the day. So let's hear what happened during the game.
I'm here with Chris from Sunderland Supporters Club Sydney. Chris, tell us a little bit about today and your involvement in this great setup we had here.
Yeah, thanks for Crystal Palace supporters for turning up today. It's a real contest. We're here to raise money and awareness for the Bradley Lowry Foundation. The club is sending out some Bradley Lowry Foundation shirts, which we've been given the job to sell. we'll get, we had the idea to make it bigger than that, get a few team involved and make it a big event. Sell out as many shirts as possible, raise as much money as possible, and I think we've done that today. It's been a great result. It's been a great contest out there on the park, and I hope we can do it again next year.
Awesome. And just on the game, you yourself, big penalty save. Tell us a bit about that.
Hung the gloves up 2 years ago. I promise we kept them hung up. I did come alive probably to that penalty save, and it's about 32 degrees, and I'm feeling every one of them degrees. So, yeah, it's good to get out there and good to wear the badge on the shirt.
Yeah. Hey, listen, look, thank you very much. As part of, as a player, it's been absolutely brilliant, and look forward to next year as well.
Thank you.
Cheers, buddy.
All right, well, shall we sort of call it a day there? Have you got any more things you want to whinge about, Rob? Okay, well, a pleasure as always chatting with you, and look forward to the WhatsApp ranting during the Huddersfield game on Saturday night.
See you next, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Peace out. Cheers, guys.